Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. From the Gospel reading, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. This is our text. As human beings, we constantly make judgments. Daily life is filled with judgment making. Some of them are judgments about large, important, and life-changing sorts of things. Should I take this job? Can I trust this person? Others have to do with matters that are small or trivial. This shirt or that shirt? Chinese or Italian for dinner? Every opinion we form and every decision we make involves a judgment of some kind. Judgment about people, about places, about things. We even describe individuals as having good judgment or bad, depending on whether their judgments are wise, well-reasoned, and truthful or not. It's easy to be mistook in our judgments. It's easy to make mistakes about how we judge others and ourselves and the times in which we live. This is one of the reasons we should take seriously the Eighth Commandment. When God says, "You shall not bear false testimony against your neighbor," we are to put the best construction on everything and to explain everything in the kindest way. Because making an accurate judgment of life as it happens is really, really hard. That's one of the chief dangers of trying to understand history while you're still living it. First impressions aren't always the most accurate or the most discerning. Maybe the evidence we have is limited. Maybe we're using the wrong criteria. Maybe we're too close to the thing that's going on to get a good perspective. You know the saying, we've missed the forest for the trees. Time and distance have a good way of revealing things that aren't visible in the particular moment. I think this applies to our time as well. Whatever we think today about the coronavirus pandemic or the 2020 election, time and distance will probably change the way we think about these things. We won't see them in the same way in the future. People turn out to be different than we thought. Places aren't what we remembered them to be. Things are different than they seemed at the time. And even the judgments of history often turn out to be wrong. So all of our judgments, the human judgments made by sinners, all of them are provisional. All of them are temporary. All of them are subject to being revised. That includes even our best judgments. What we see now, what we think now, isn't necessarily what it will look like in the end. We're bound by the time and place in which we live. Or you might say, if life is a narrative, if it's a story, we're stuck in the middle. We can't see the whole thing. But there is another perspective on all things, including on us. There's the perspective of the king whose judgment is true and just, the king who sees all things as they are and sees all things in light of eternity. And when I say all things, I mean all things. Not just the big things like the pandemics and the elections, but he sees the medium things and the little things too. Like the cup of cold water given to the one who thirsts. Or the diaper changed on the helpless infant or adult. The hand extended in welcome to the stranger. The prayer whispered for the person in need. He sees all those things too. So beyond our judgments, there's his judgment on the world and his judgment on our lives and our works and his judgment on the lives and works of all people. When Jesus taught the apostles, he also taught them about the end, the last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Now, together with all the churches that confess the Augsburg Confession, we believe that at the end of the world, Christ will appear for judgment and will raise all the dead. He will give the godly and elect eternal life and everlasting joys, but he will condemn ungodly people and the devils to be tormented without end, which is simply another way of saying what we heard in the reading today. When the Son of Man comes in glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And the sheep he will send into the kingdom prepared for them from before the foundation of the world, and the goats will be sent into the everlasting fire. We should be clear that this is not a parable. This is not a story that Jesus is using to teach some truth about himself. This is a future event described in apocalyptic end times language. An event that will bring the curtain down on this age when heaven and earth will pass away. And I don't know about you, but as I think about that time, I say, oh, let the veil be parted. Let the curtain come down. Come, Lord Jesus. He will make the final judgment, the divine, eternal judgment. For this king sees things that we can't see. All things are open to him. Every heart is known to him. Every mind is revealed to him. Nothing is hidden from his sight. His judgment isn't like our judgment. Our judgment is limited and narrow, but his judgment is wide. He has all the facts. Even the hairs of your head are all numbered by him. He sees the whole forest, and he knows every single tree that's in it. So the only judgment that matters at the end is his. Not yours, not mine, not anyone else's. Have no fear of them, Jesus says. Don't fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. We spend far too much time worrying about how others will judge us, but whatever judgment they make isn't final and it isn't eternal. That kind of judgment is reserved for our King. And our King will come. He will sit on his glorious throne. He will judge the nations. But you know him. You know this King. You know who he is, and you know what he's done. You know him because he's made himself known to you. He's made himself known to you in Holy Scripture, and he's made himself known to you in the Holy Sacraments. And he isn't going to change into something different when he comes again in glory. He is exactly as he has revealed himself to be. He is who he says he is. The judgment of Scripture is true. We do not read one thing about Jesus in the Scriptures only to find out something different about him in the end. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the one sitting on the throne is no stranger, though many misjudged him when he was here. Just think about how he was judged in his life. The Pharisees and the scribes, the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, the chief priests and Pontius Pilate, they all were mistaken in their judgments of him. They judged him to be a blasphemer, a lawbreaker, a temple destroyer, one worthy of death. And not just any death, but the worst possible kind of death, death by crucifixion. Yes, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, knows what it is to stand in the dock. He knows what it is to be judged. He knows what it is to be condemned. He has the scars to prove it. He's been through hell, and he wouldn't wish that on anyone. Indeed, the eternal fire, as he calls it, was never intended for people at all, but for the devil and his evil angels. So when King Jesus comes again in glory, when we stand before his throne, it won't be to give everyone exactly what they deserve. To do that would be to act as though he had never been crucified, dead, or buried, as if he had never borne the sins of the world. What we deserve has already been suffered by him and borne by him on the cross. No, when Jesus comes again in glory, he will not judge on the basis of works, but of faith. Faith in him. Faith alone saves. This is our confession. It's true now, and it's also true at the end. Those who trust in Jesus won't be left hanging. You're not going to show up before his throne and say, "I thought faith alone saved," only to find out that it's different. It won't be. Your faith is not in vain. And yet, what we see in the reading today is that faith is also never alone. Faith is living and active. Faith is busy doing all kinds of things, busy listening to Jesus, busy thinking about others. One thing it's not busy doing is thinking about itself. A good tree doesn't think about being a good tree. It doesn't bother making any judgments about itself at all. It just soaks up the sun and the water and bears good fruit. The same is true of sheep. They don't go around making judgments of themselves or of others. They just listen to the voice of the shepherd, and they follow him, and they graze here and there and everywhere. They follow him. That's what sheep do. And he leads them into green pastures, and he leads them beside still waters, and he leads them through the valley of the shadow of death, and he leads them into life eternal. O sheep, trust the shepherd to be your judge. Fix your hope and your hearts on him. For this is the judgment that Jesus will make when he comes again in glory. He will separate the sheep from the goats. He will separate the believers from the unbelievers. He will separate those who listen to his voice and follow him from those who merely pay lip service while despising his word and following liars. He knows his own. He knows you. He shed his blood for you. And so it's to you that he says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world." And that's when we'll find out just how badly we've misjudged the sheep. Because Jesus sees things that the sheep haven't seen and can't see. Jesus sees all their poor little deeds of mercy that we missed completely in this life. "For I was hungry," Jesus says, "and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." When did we do all that? How did we miss all those things? Because our judgments are limited. But he judges eternally. Because those who do such things, the sheep who follow Jesus, aren't looking at their own works, and they aren't trusting in their own works, but they are simply looking to him. They've got their eyes fixed on him. "Truly I say to you," Jesus says, "as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Or another way of saying all of this is simply to confess what we just confessed a few minutes ago. When Jesus comes again in glory and sits on his glorious throne and judges the living and the dead, we will not plead our works, but we will plead his death. We will say, "I believe in the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting." Christ sees the things we don't see. He sees all the works done in love for him, no matter how small they are. We don't need to focus on those, but to focus only on our Lord and on his works for us, to cling to Christ and the kingdom that he promised, the kingdom that he has long prepared for you, because in him you have eternal life. He is your hope of glory. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever you may think about the judgment to come, whatever judgments you have made of yourself or others in this life, set those things aside. Trust not in your judgment, but trust in His. And trust in what the judge of the world has done for you by His life, His death, and His resurrection. In the end, the only thing that matters and the only thing that will last is His evaluation of all things. Whether they be pandemics and elections, things present or things past, your life and your works, or the life and the works of others, you will be what He declares you to be. Not a goat, but a sheep, listening to His voice and following Him here and into eternal life. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.